You want to go first?
No particularly. Right. My name's Pam. I live in Scone. I've lived here for 28 years.
I'm Pam. I live in Scone as well, and I've been here for about 25 years now.
My name's Olive. I've lived in Scone now for 42 years.
My name's Yvonne. I live in Perth, and I've lived in Perth all my life, apart from the 20 years that I lived in Scone.
My name's Madge. I've just been in Scone for 1 week, but up to that point, I lived in Perth the rest of my 57 years.
So you just moved this week?
Yes. Yeah. Just last week, yeah, week passing Sunday.
Oh, gosh, a real newcomer then.
I'm not really a newcomer, because my grandfather and that was here since I was all my days in Scone, connected with Scone. Uh-huh. Football team and such like, yeah.
Now, was there any word in the diagram you really started writing down lots for that? Ah, I've got a few things to say on that one. If in doubt...
Drunk.
Drunk. Good, that's a good place to start. Yeah. I like that idea. Let's start with drunk. Okay.
That's one that I know that we'll all know. I thought of two in particular, bluttered and guttered, are the two I thought of. And yeah... used a fair amount, yes, aye. No, no, not at all. No. Just to describe other people.
Anybody else?
I've got steaming.
I've got steaming as well.
Pissed.
You've got pissed as well.
Not that I've been any of these, of course. But that's about the only ones I've got, apart from what Pam said as well.
What did you have,
Olive? Well, I actually just wrote down steaming, slosh. Pissed as well. Couldn't think of anything else. Just more or less what they all said.
Yeah, that's the same. Steaming was the main one that I would use as well.
Mm-hmm. And the only other one I said was legless.
Yes, so. Yes, it was interesting in Glasgow when I spoke to folk, kind of they said there's like a distinction between being comatose, paralytic, rubber leg. They're all kind of different degrees of drunkenness. Is there an ultimate drunk word out there?
Out the game. Out the game. Yeah. Early dark and out the game.
Out of the game.
Yeah.
No, I would have. That's about the only one I'd have thought as well, Pam. Yeah. For the ultimate. Mm. You're out the game.
Yeah. Fan by, fallen by?
No. That doesn't ring a bell.
I fall by the wayside, no. Yeah, but that.
But that would mean something.
That's right. Yeah. No drunk, no.
Legless.
Well, I've heard Eddie use that a lot. Legless is what he would describe as probably being drunk.
And if you would see, like, if you're in the car and you see somebody out the car window and you maybe say, oh, they're absolutely steaming. That's probably fair.
Staggering up the road.
That's what you would
game.
See.
You're out the game.
That's it. You're on the pavement, you've had it, you don't remember anything. At all, that's it.
What else in that section? Pregnant amongst women.
Mm.
So,
what's
for pregnant?
Oh, the spout I've got.
Mm. Oh, one in the oven. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I wouldn't really say that. I would just say pregnant.
Yeah,
it's not. But these well, other actually. Sayings are sayings that mm-hmm. others might mm-hmm. say.
I wrote down expecting because that's what I would say. I wouldn't say like you know. Mm-hmm. She's got a bun in the oven or anything like that.
See, I'm going to be a granny now. I've just discovered that in the past week. So I would say Tracy is pregnant. No, I wouldn't say, you know, I would say pregnant. That's what I would say.
Up the kite. Up the kite.
Yeah. That's a good one. Do you think you'd use different words for pregnant amongst different people? So say you're speaking about yourself, you might say, I'm pregnant. Or,
yes.
And then you might say somebody else was up the duff. Like
no.
If you're a soap opera.
No. I wouldn't say that.
No, I'd just say pregnant.
I would just say pregnant or she's expecting.
Expecting's an older word though, isn't it? It's one from maybe when we were pregnant.
Probably.
You'd have said, I'm expecting.
But I would say expecting nowadays a poor pregnant. Nowadays it's pregnant.
Mm-hmm. What does Tracy use to describe her pregnancy?
Pregnant, just pregnant, yeah. Yeah.
Super. Attractive.
Bonnie.
Pretty was another one. Mm-hmm. Pretty, she's pretty.
When I was asking Michael, this is one of the young lads, he said fit. She's fit. Yeah. A bit of all right. Sexy. Gorgeous. You came up with all these, not me.
They're much more imaginative kids.
Yeah. But they would say, oh, she's fit, or he's fit. Or, yeah. But it's not something I would say. I would say she's bonny.
She's a
bonny. A fell bonny.
Fell bonny.
Is one I would say.
What does that mean?
Fairly. Fell. Fairly bonny. Fell bonny. Yeah, certainly. That's what I would say. She's fell bonny, or he's fell bonny even. Well, not normally like that. No, I probably wouldn't say he. No. But no, she's fell bonny.
How would you describe bigger than fella?
Alright.
There's
a bit of
alright,
yes.
It's a bit of alright.
Yeah. A hunk. Handsome hunk.
Gorgeous.
Hunk, that's a good one.
Fit one as well. You would use fit, I think.
I think we'd maybe use it now, but you wouldn't have done years ago. Yeah, it's kind of a modern description.
Do any of your bairns use the expression buff?
No. Unless they've got no clothes on. They're in the buff.
You're in the buff.
In the buff. Yeah. Minging.
A minger.
Yeah,
got that. No, very bonny.
Bowfin was another one.
Ugly.
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 Pot ugly.
That's another one. They're pot ugly.
I'd say
younger days it would be ugly, even myself, would you know?
Probably, yeah, I would have said that.
Dog is another one, eh? Sometimes it can be derogatory for somebody, you know, if they're really not very attractive. She's a dog, or... Mm-hmm.
Does that tend to be a female word?
I would probably.
From a man describing a female. Mm-hmm. Aye.
Yeah.
She's a dog.
I couldn't see women saying that.
No.
But for unattractive, that's probably what they would say, wouldn't it? She's a dog. Not about us, of course.
No.
No, probably not. Describe us.
What about, also in that section, lacking money?
Skint.
Skint.
That was
skint.
An easy one.
Skint.
Yeah.
Hard up.
Mm-hmm. Poor.
But skint. 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 Skint.
Yeah, definitely skint.
It's very perfect as well to be skint.
Say that again, so I'm just not catching everything.
It's a typical Perth expression. You know, oh, I'm skint.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know, but it's something that everybody in the town would say. Mm-hmm. It's not... It's you would hear it maybe in Perth more than you would hear it in Dundee,
young
say.
And old. Young and old. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you think that's anything to do with the fact that folk, there's a bigger difference between rich and poor folk here? Or is there varying degrees? You'd be skint, or you'd be hard up, or you'd be completely broke?
No, you'd be skint.
You'd be skint.
Yeah, definitely. It's just skint means you're through all sections of the community. Skint.
Hate me.
That's
don't
you love hate me?
Okay, what about the opposite of that? Rich,
well off,
loaded.
Loaded.
Minted.
Minted.
I don't know if that's a Perth word or not, but minted. You'd say they're minted.
Well off, I would say.
Well off,
Or loaded.
There's a place in Bridge of Erne. You live in Bridge of Erne, did you say?
No, my friend.
Your friend does. And Firkoe Avenue, we used to call it. Aye. What is the right name? Just when you go to the bridge.
Yeah, so Cuchfield.
I forgot. Well, it's Firkoe Avenue. That's what we call Firkoe Avenue. Never called it Hughfield, it was Firkoe Avenue. Because they were all well off. Probably some of them were right now.
So they got no money.
What about Moody?
I didn't have anything for Moody.
Huffy.
You got Huffy?
Yeah, I've got Huffy.
Stroppy. So I just say those again.
Sulky. Stroppy. Somebody's in a strop if they're in a mood.
I was just stroppy, it's more like an arrogant kind of stroppy, arrogant.
A bit of an attitude.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
An attitude.
Huffy definitely.
Somebody,
if you're in a huff. You've got the hump.
You've taken the hump.
What does that mean?
The same thing, just as you're in a mood, a sulk.
Oh,
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Taking the pet. Taking the pet.
Taking the pet.
Aye, I've heard that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's away in the huff because she's taking the pet. You know, oh, she's right. Not happy with whatever's mm-hmm. going on or something.
Right. Normally applied to the female population then.
Normally.
So if men didn't go in the huff.
They're in the huff all the time. It didn't get much normal with them.
Words for insane,
mad,
nuts,
daft.
I just said if you could say that in turn. Try and not speak at the top of one another because I'm not catching everything, unfortunately.
Right, sorry. Sorry, what was that one again?
That was insane.
Well, I'd say mad, bonkers, nuts. Mm-hmm. That's about the only three I could think of that I would personally say if I was talking about somebody who's, well, like our friends. A psychiatric nurse, and we call her a nutter nurse.
Oh, sure. So, yeah.
And is there different ways? Like nuts could be quite affectionate, and then totally, you know, no right would be something else. You know,
I suppose you could say affectionately somebody's nuts, meaning that they're funny or.
I think it's a tone.
But
you see
yeah, probably the way that you say it, you could say, "Oh, she's nuts," yeah. But or you she's funny.
A phrase like. Sang was short of a picnic, you know, something like that. Not the the sharpest knife in the drawer, something like that.
Yeah.
But again, these are sort of terms rather than words. Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's fine. Expressions are fine too.
Daft is what you said. Daft. Daft.
Daft or mad.
Is flaky not another one? Flaky is one that I would hear used a fair bit.
No,
no.
That's maybe just in the police station.
We're all flaky. Flaky. I don't know if that's maybe an Edinburgh one then. I stayed in Edinburgh.
Flaky to me sounds like it's a bit iffy. You know, like.
It's not a word.
No, I don't know.
It's not a word I would have. I just think of flaky pastry. I think of flaky.
Good again. You're on this diet.
That's what it is.
What about tour? Left-handed.
Kippy-handed.
Kippy-handed, I've got that as well.
Kippy-handed.
Tell me about that.
Just it's always been kippy-handed. Somebody that's left-handed, people always say they're kippy-handed.
Yeah.
Don't know where it came from, but that's
either.
What...
My parents used it, that's why I use it.
Kippy-handed's
mm-hmm.
always been...
Yeah.
Why do your parents use that?
I have no idea. My brother was is left-handed, so he was always referred to as kippy-handed.
Kippy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I have no idea where it came from.
You seem all of kippy-handed.
No, I wasn't sure, and I didn't really know what. And I asked Jim, and he said he'd always called it cack-handed.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
He right away he came out. He says, "Oh, anybody left-handed is cack-handed," but he's Perth as well, born and bred. But where it came from, no idea.
I always thought cack-handed meant that you were a bit. Not very good with your hands. You broke stuff or you were clumsy.
Yes.
I always thought of as cack-handed.
Couldn't catch a ball. So
that's right.
No, well, as soon as I asked him about left-handed, he said cack-handed, but I don't know.
Yeah, the folk up in Pitlochry said, but you said as well, kippy-handed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never heard that anywhere else. So
It must
be. I must admit,
I've never heard
the
kippy-handed either, and I was born and brought up in Perth.
I mean, now I don't think I would use it, but when I was trying to think of a saying, mm-hmm. you know, that's...
I would still use it, I think.
Uh-huh.
But normally you would say my granddaughter's left-handed,
yeah.
But sometimes I would say kippy, dear, mm-hmm. You're kippy.
Mm-hmm.
Just... No, I mean, I don't think you have an occasion to use it. You know, that's kippy, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything negative associated with that?
Not now, but I think there was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not when we were children, but our parents, you know, because it, like in school they were
trying to
write with their other hand and all that. So I think it was derogatory then, but... I think it matters now.
I can remember at primary school in Edinburgh, them actually being taught to write with their right hand rather than using their left hand and getting into bother for using their left hand, which seemed an awful shame because it was hard enough at primary school without changing hand.
Was it the Northern District, you know, before it was changed to Balhousie, he used to hit them a book.
Yeah.
He was really bad if anybody was left-handed. They used to think you're a wee bit daft. If you were kippy-handed, left-handed, you know? And I think that's what they tried to knock it out in kids, like, you know?
I think the teachers long ago even before I, like when we were at school, mm-hmm. previous generation, I think they would get slapped with a ruler and things like that, you know, ruler over the knuckles and just to stop, make them write with their right hand. I don't know why they had a thing against left-handedness, but as you say, it was maybe associated with them being not so clever or something.
You're saying that, like you with the violin. My granddaughter's left-handed, but you can't play the violin left-handed. So she's got to get used to with the right hand with the violin. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's another wee bit thing for you.
Yeah, it's good. Let's see now. Let's move on to the next one. Shall we go to the bottom right, inside and outside? Mm-hmm. Words for, shall we start with Pam, to rain lightly?
I've got drizzle or spitting.
Or
that's what I would say if it was raining lightly, just drizzling.
No, I would say the same. I've got drizzle or spitting rain, exactly the same. I couldn't think of anything else I would say.
Definitely drizzle. I wouldn't say anything else. I would just come in and say it's drizzling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same for me, drizzle. And I've put a wee note next to it. If I was describing the day, I'd probably call it a dreich day because it's drizzling. Mm-hmm. But
that's a
Scottish
word. Spitting. I've got spitting.
What about to rain heavily,
Madge? Pour or pelting. Pelting or rain. Or pouring or rain.
Lashing. The rain lashing against the window.
Or tipping it down. Tipping it down. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I come in and I'll say, you know, it's lashing rain outside, or I've even said bucketing rain, you know.
Bucketing
rain, I've said that. I've also said teeming rain, but I take that from my English side of the family. Because my father was Cornish, so I often say teeming rain, but that's not from up here.
Yeah. I would say the same bucket and something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I actually say toiman. That's what we say back home. It's like teaming, but
yes,
with
it. Teaming, I don't know. Teaming is definitely an English expression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Toiman.
Mm-hmm.
Toiman.
Mm-hmm.
Toiman, yeah.
Same. Yeah, it's very, very same.
Yeah.
But a lot of your words are like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Funny words.
What about toilet? This is a good one.
I just can't list that.
Well, I've got lavy, or kludgy, or the bog.
And does that apply to like indoor and outdoor toilets? Or tell me about that.
Well, I mean, in the days gone by when the toilet was at the foot of the garden, I can remember that quite. Right. It was a kludgy, I would say, more so with that, or the bog. But lavatory is a, I would say, you call it the lavy, like instead of the bathroom. Because most people didn't have a bath in the days, they just they were lucky if they had an inside toilet. Mm-hmm. You know, when they come.
Dry toilet
down the bottom of the garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was it like when you got the toilet inside?
Well, I always had a toilet inside right now, but I'm going when I was at Scooneybarn or down at Errol or some of these places. They used to have the newspaper cut into wee square and the string through it and hanging, and you just. Had the Sunday paper on your backside, or you know, but it was pretty stinky, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was, especially in the summertime. It was my granny and grandpa stayed in Almond Bank, so used to go to this wee cottage, and down at the bottom of the garden was the toilet. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't too bad in that you had an aviary, so you could watch all these bonny birds when you went to this dry toilet. But like you say, it was the newspaper on the string,
that's
and
right,
it aye. Quite smelly in the summer,
one
flies and whatever.
Midden. And I used to get bummed into the midden. My God, we were healthy in the days, we were vegetables.
Yeah, I've just got toilet, loo, lavy. We had a toilet on the stair in our first house.
How did that work?
Well, I presume it was between the two top flats because there was one down the stair for the two bottom flats. I was only 5 when we moved from there, so I can't really remember much about it apart from I remember it, that's where it was. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our next house, it was like a proper bathroom we had. But the only inconvenience I would think was because there was no bathroom, it was having the bath that was more of the inconvenience than not having a toilet. Mm-hmm. because I can remember we used to go to the swimming baths and get a bath in the swimming baths when we were wee. And it was great because they were great, big, huge, enormous baths, and you could have as much hot water as you liked. So I can remember
to
that.
Yourself.
To yourself. I have to share it with my mum.
No, I just said loo and toilet and lavy. I mean, I've always had, like, been brought up with a bathroom as such, but I mean, I've used to hear my granny speak about, you know, like where her parents were, and they had a toilet down at the bottom of the garden. My husband, he, until he got married, had always had an outside toilet, because where he lived in Scone, his mother only had a toilet at the bottom of the stairs, although it flushed. It wasn't a dry toilet. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they used to just talk about, we're going to the lavvy. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was cold in the winter, only lit with a wee paraffin lamp, and it was quite a hike if you had been out drinking the night before and you had to get up in the middle of the night to go down the stairs to the toilet. It was a bit of a thing. But he didn't know what it was to have an actual indoor toilet until he actually got married.
Did you know of a chanty under the bed?
I think Hilda did give us a chanty, but I can't remember now. But I mean, and yet the thing is, his mum had the chance to actually go to a house with her, you know, like a council house in the village, and she refused point blank to move from where she was staying. So she never knew all her life till she died. She didn't have running water, you know, she didn't have hot water in her house, and she didn't have a toilet or a bath.
How long ago was that?
Since she died in 1980, and she that's,
I mean, that's not that long.
No. She died in 1980 at 82. She died the year Grant was born, that's right, 80, and she was 82, and she had never had a bathroom in her life, and she didn't have hot water. She'd only, like, cold water tap, and then in latter years she had a geyser. And so when we got married in 1963, and until then, well, Eddie went to do his national service, so he obviously had toilet facilities, you know, when he was away in Germany and things like that. But, I mean, until he got married in 63, he hadn't had a toilet either. Because he was brought up, like, obviously at home with his mum.
I can remember the first flat that ever bought in McQuibbin's buildings.
Oh,
no, McQuibbin's buildings was here. No,
that's
the Shore
Road.
It's the Shore Road in Barker's buildings in Milne Street. And it was like that, the shared toilet. Mm-hmm. But the old guy next door had been in the hospital all the time we were there. And then I bought the flat next door as well. And there was an old, you know, the bed recess.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in a plumber's merchants at the time and made a bathroom with chrome pipes and all. And it was great because I worked in a plumber's merchants. And we made the recess a bathroom between the two flats, like, you know, the recess of one of the houses. But as you say, it was freezing. When you come up at night and you're all cosy in the flat and you need to wear running down the middle of these stairs, like, you know. But it was a flush toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was their own toilet.
They didn't have to share.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was very basic. I mean, it was just, like, at the bottom of the stairs and, like, an old-fashioned, like...
The chain.
And the coal... It would be originally, I think, a part of a coal cellar that had just been converted to a toilet.
They survived, eh?
Well, they did.
Yeah. Mod coins nowadays.
Speaking of mod coins, Pam, do you think your kids use different words for the smallest room in the house?
No, I think probably just the same sort of words that we use. I thought they wouldn't know what an outside toilet was, apart from guide camp, scout camp, I think. Mm. But it's just the loo, the bogs. Bogs, that's what the school toilets were called, the bogs.
I think most people would definitely say loo.
Or just the toilet.
Or just going
Amy
to the toilet.
Amy would say, I'm just going to the toilet.
I don't know about the Northern District, but the toilets were still outside. I think they're still outside.
No,
they've been closed. Are they inside now? Or they're inside now?
Because I think there's some tradition, you know, to call it bathroom or restroom now for American programmes as well.
I wouldn't say I was going to the bathroom. I would say I was going
or
to
the powder toilet. Room or something, but they are American.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that.
That's a bit posh for here, I think.
I'd say a good bathroom, I wouldn't say a restroom.
No, neither would I. I'd say I'm going to get the bathroom or something.
But if I was sending somebody to get something out of the cupboard there, I would say it's in the bathroom cupboard. I wouldn't say it's in the toilet cupboard.
No, I would say the bathroom too.
What fascinating as toilets are, David, to try and
cover some of this stuff.
What about running water smaller than a river?
A burn.
Burn, stream, ditch. Stream or a ditch, aye.
A ditch is not really a running... Well, I mean, it is.
It could be in that
area. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But I'd say a burn.
Tell me a wee story about being at a burn or something. Just a wee quick story. I mean, you've got prime burn country here.
Beautiful burn for a start.
Yes, well, my husband used to guddle trout.
That's right.
He's guddled all his life in Scoonburn. And he's done it, well, since he was a wee lad. And he would still do it yet if he got the chance.
That's why there's no trout in the Scoonburn now, right?
He often says that he often looks and thinks that there isn't the trout in it that there used to be. I mean, he used to be able to... I think the record between him and his pal was like 40-something when they did it in their lunch hour one day when they were apprentices with Alan. But I don't think he could get anything like that now. No.
I remember he took Amy once when she was tiny and she came carrying this trout all the way up to Alley, Bob Garvey Alley.
Boy, Eddie's done it all his life because he was born and brought up in the village.
Tell us what guddling involves, Orla.
Oh, well, you have...
Tell us what guddling is.
Guddling is, you have to sort of get into the burn and then with your fingers, you have to very gently go under the stones, mostly at the side, where there's a lot of green and everything, where the trout hide, and you have to go in, and then you've basically just got to tickle them out, I think is the expression, mm-hmm. and you've got to be able to catch it. Mm-hmm. And that's
it. That must be quite a skill.
Yeah, I stayed in Dingwall for a couple of years, and it was actually the minister in Dingwall that taught me how to guddle fish. it was quite amazing. It was great fun, but that was not actually getting into the burn. It was lying alongside the bank and just lying there and the hand going in and you feel the fish gently and it's just like dazing it, just tickling it gently and rubbing it gently, dazing it, and then and throwing it onto the bank. Yeah, it's good fun.
I've had the patience to do that. In fact, I used to go with my brother. He used to go to the burn and to go fishing, and I'd cry until I got to go as well because I was a spoilt wee brat. And when we got there, all I'd do is get a row for speaking all the time. It'd be shut up, you're frightening the fish, be quiet, shut up, because that's all I did.
I remember an awful row in Perth for being in the Craigie Burn at the South Inch from my parents. We'd been playing on the Inch in Perth and going home, and what you've been doing, you're soaking. Been in the burn and it went mad because at that time all the open toilets went in to the burn. Yeah, and of course I must have been stinking from so I never did it again.
I couldn't mind going in the burn in the North Inch and getting the golf balls. We used to go in there for the school and
did you sell them?
We sold them.
We sold the golf balls.
City.
I would say settee now, but when I was younger, I would have said the couch. But settee's a more modern word.
I would say a sofa like, now, probably.
Yeah, it's like lounge is a modern word instead of saying you're, you know, go through to the living room. You would now say go through to the lounge and sit in the settee, where it was go through and the couch is, you know. I mean, it's just modern words and old words. And I think because you listen to things on the TV, they say settee, don't they? They don't talk about couches.
Probably be a bed settee, the couch anyway.
Sofa's a word they say now. Because when I was trying to think of a word for this, the adverts were on the TV and it was all about sofas. Mm-hmm. And sofa isn't a word I would say.
No, I wouldn't say sofa either. Just settee. I've always just thought settee.
Well, it was definitely the couch in our house.
Yeah, but settee now? Would you say?
I'd say a sofa now. No, I would probably say a sofa.
Would
you? Yeah.
Everything seems to vary by family, this one. Mm-hmm. Totally different. And it's like city, couch, sofa.
It's funny, if I was talking about the city, couch, sofa in the back sitting room, the one Amy lies on permanently, I would call it the settee or the couch. But if I'm talking about the one in my front room, I would call it the sofa.
Ew.
I probably would. So that must be the posh version. I probably would, though.
In the good room.
Our living room was quite small, so we only had individual chairs when I was young. We didn't actually ever have a settee or a couch. Until I met Eddie, and, well, his mum, she had a bed settee. Because she lived on the bed settee. They needed the bed, you know, they needed that. It's only since I've been married we've had a settee, and I just call it a settee. I've never saw a couch. See, that's maybe like going back when I was wee, but we were never. I never had a couch when I was wee. It was always individual chairs we had.
What would Amy call the seat?
The settee, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. What about the room itself where you watch
TV? Room. Well, if the TV's in it, I call it the living room.
Sitting room.
The lounge.
Living room or front room.
Living room.
Mm-hmm. Totally different answers there.
See, I don't have a television in my lounge. So I've got a living room with the television and a front room, what I call a front room. It's my lounge, but I have a living room.
And so you kind of keep the front room for special occasions with the minister and me.
Yes, I'm the minister and you want. Yes, special
the good
occasion.
Room.
It's the good room. Very rarely used, as my husband says. It's like for Christmas and New Year or when we've got visitors, which is, you know, not better. Or entertain or something. Not very often, not used very often. So we're mostly in the living room.
I suppose living room's where you all lived, really, which is why it's called that, really.
It's probably the fire was on as well when we were kids.
Oh, aye. My granny only had a living room.
If you had a front room, the fire was never on there anyway.
We only, see, when I was wee, we only had the living room.
Did we?
We had no other room. It was just the living room. We lived in it and that was it. Fire was on and that was it.
I knew that was
going to
happen. Let's see now. Narrow walkway between or alongside buildings.
I have to say that I've not really lived in an area where there have been buildings with the narrow walkways between them. But if I was referring to it at all, it'd probably be a close. But I always thought that was a Dundee word.
No,
really.
I've always said close. Said close as well. I mean, there's alleyways and...
Or Venal.
Yeah, but Venal's a Perth word because you talk about... It's like it's got a name, like Cutlock Venal, yeah. So, I mean, there's quite a few of them in Perth and they actually have names. But I would have said a close. I'd have said, you know, I'll meet you at the end of that close.
Whatever. Close sometimes is associated with, like...
Tenement building.
Exactly. Like a building with where you, I'll meet you at the close. You know, going up the close and they lived upstairs. That's Glasgow, you see, where the tenement buildings and they went in the close. To me, it's like I would say that narrow walkway between buildings, to me, is a venal.
Yeah,
Nicking up between, you know, when you park in the Canal Street now and you go up the side of Tesco's, that's a venal. That's a close to me, or a narrow walkway between buildings. That, to me, is a venal.
Yeah, a venal or a close. But a close...
Because it's not a word I'd heard until I came to Perth, venal.
It must be venals.
I mean, there's a venal at the side of McEwan's. Is it Baxter's venal and there's Cutlog venal and there's lots of...
There must be a lot of other towns that have venals. I'll tell you, there's Edinburgh does because it's got Fisher's venal and in the old town there's lots of these...
Fisher's venal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's Fisher's venal.
We've got Cutlog venal. Kirkside's a venal.
A lot of venals in Perth. Really, when you really start to think, is venal a word that you would use yourself?
No, really. No. Lane.
Lane. Mm. You're close or a venal, I would say. You're posh.
Yeah, that's posh.
You're Inverness. No, I would say close or a venal.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the next set of stuff. Mother.
What I call my mother? I just called her Mum.
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 Totally unanimous. Good. Grandma? Grandmother?
Granny.
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 Never get a unanimous verdict.
Or Nana.
Nana.
No.
Never call my granny.
My mum's... the female side of it, like my mum's a Nana. My mum's a Nana. Whereas it's Granny for the male side of it.
My family was the opposite. It was my dad's mum that was my Nana. Right. And all because she came from Northumberland, they never had grannies, they were all nanas. You'd get Nana and Nana somebody else. But there was nae any grannies then, and she sort of stuck to the Nana idea.
Interesting. What about grandfather?
I called him granddad.
Papa.
Granddad.
Papa.
Granddad.
Gramp.
OK.
Gramp. Gramp. Gramp.
Okay, imagine any reason for that? Because everybody else is saying granddad.
Just always got Gramp. Gramp. That was it. Just got Gramp.
I guess it's really personal to families, isn't it?
Well, I think it is because I mean, my granddad was Papa, and my kids called, like my dad, Papa, and Mark will be called Papa. When Tracy and Stephen have theirs, it's just it must just be a family thing. Just like granny or nana, whatever it is that you've said. I'll be granny.
How do you feel about that?
Great. I've started knitting.
Is this your first grandchild?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I've got ages to go yet. I've been through the internet looking for prams and everything as well. Great.
When's it due?
Oh, not till about October. I've got ages yet. I'll have loads of stuff. I'll have knitted loads. Knitting with this 2-ply wool. I've knitted one side at the moment and it's that size. It would fit a doll. It's tiny.
Are there any like Perth traditions around babies or child rearing down like that? Something unique?
Don't think so, because you don't have baby showers and things here like you do in America. There's nothing like that, is there? Just grannies go mad, I suppose, that's all.
We used to do shows of like wedding presents. I never hear of anybody having that now. Yeah. I think that seems to have died a death.
Yeah.
You know, when a bride was getting married, she would show all her wedding presents. Mm-hmm. I don't hear of anybody doing that now.
But then, what's the couples live together now? Well, so they have lots of things, whereas, I mean, in our day, it wasn't a done thing to live together before you got married. So when you had your house, you needed everything from clothes pegs to dusters to everything. Whereas now they have all these things. In fact, when you had your showing of presents, people used to bring another wee gift. Yeah, lots of different, polish and
it's kind of nice that sort of stuff, isn't it? It's
just you just don't get it
but
now
you don't
at all.
Get it now, but it's, I never thought of the fact. It's
even a rolling pin. I remember somebody brought me a rolling pin to my show in a present.
Well, I got some old neighbour Eddie's mum. She made me like a clothes peg bag, filled it with clothes pegs and things like that. You know, little things.
Your scrubbing brush and your washing up brush and your wee side thing. I don't know what that was for. Was it for?
But I never. It's just you see, it's because people live together now and. Well, they've got a kettle and a toaster.
I was made to go home that week because we did live together. And my mother made me come home again for my show and a presents.
You're like the queen.
Well, she did. She told me. She was now I'm not the neighbours coming in and me going away out again. So I was confined to barracks.
Oh, no, I was definitely in the days where you weren't allowed. I wasn't allowed to. Heavens, my grandmother would have flipped her lid if I suggested that.
Things change so much because when my nieces and nephews started living together, so I mean my mum's grandchildren, she didn't think anything about that. She thought it was quite okay, it was quite normal. But if I'd done it, I'd have been out the door.
They lived together and get to know each other. wouldn't be probably married for 45 years if I'd lived together.
That's the thing. I mean, made that point in jest, but it's true, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's a good idea. A wee trial run.
It could save a lot of divorces, though, couldn't it? Well, I used to go home on a Sunday to do my washing because we never had a washing machine. My mum would particularly make me hang the clothes out on the line to show that I was still living in the house.
All your little knickers and things.
Uh-huh. None of Nick's stuff. It didn't go in the line. But my washing went out in the line.
So who did Nick's washing?
Oh, no, I did the washing. But it never went out in my mum's line.
Only her stuff.
My stuff went out so the neighbours could see my washing on the line. I was 27 years old at the time. That's God's honest truth. I went on for a year. Who does she think she was kidding, eh?
But you see, so you love holding the neighbourhood.
So you lived next for a year and went home every Sunday.
Well, we went there for our dinner on a Sunday and I used to do the washing at the same time, you see. And before I knew where it was, there'd be half a dozen of my things out in the line. I never
and
put
Nick
them there.
Hidden indoors.
It's in the screen round the fire. Because we
this was in a poly bag and I was told to take them up the road. Oh,
okay. What about... Well, baby then. Moving on, Faye.
I would just call it baby. Was it another name for baby? Well, I would just say...
I'd say baby.
I would say baby.
Bairn.
But a baby, we just not say...
Not even a bairn. Just no, a bairn.
No, I'd say baby.
For a baby as well.
Some folk would say sprog, but oh, I don't no, think that's a nice that's word. Nice.
Bairn, like bairn. Mm-hmm. The bairn.
I think it's males that say that word then more, sprog. It's not a word I would use, but it's a word I've heard. You know, like you hear it on the TV and like males will talk about the sprog.
Is it not American thing?
Sprog. I don't know.
I've heard it.
No,
I've heard it, but I wouldn't use it.
No, neither would I.
Sometimes you've heard it if a kid was a wee sprog and like a wee...
We're the normal.
We're a wee skinny wee critter, like, you know, I think I've heard it in that, like, a wee sprawl. But it's no word. It's bairn.
Eddie would say bairn. I wouldn't, so I would say baby. But Eddie would talk about the bairn.
And what about ankle biter, nipper, kid?
Nipper. Kid. Nipper, I've heard nipper or kid. 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 Not ankle biter, I must
think
admit.
That's a dog.
It's more,
ankle
more of our dogs.
I've never heard it much about this area, nipper or kid.
And kid? Kids
didn't bite their ankle. We feed them.
kid I would think of as an older child, not a baby.
A kid, somebody.
Like a toddler.
A toddler, aye.
Mm-hmm. The kiddie.
Aye, the kiddie. Mm-hmm. But not a baby in a like not no, a wee baby. Well, I would say baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What about female partner?
As in, if you're not married.
It's up to you. You interpret it as you like.
Well, a bidey in. That's what they would say about here. Yeah. I would think.
Mm-hmm. If it's your partner, but normally you like it's your wife. If it's
if you're married, it's your husband or your wife. Aye.
See, I took that completely differently because I took it as my pal.
As your girlfriend.
You know, like my friend, my best friend is my pal.
That's
the way I took that.
This
is not a female
partner. It's female partner, not.
There is a female, but there's a thing for friend.
Oh, I saw them. It's why I've written pal on both of them.
I took it as being a partner, but you didn't state married, you see. So if you're married, it would be your husband, if it, you know, or wife. But if you're not, well.
And there's also homosexuality, you know, if somebody's gay.
Oh,
right,
yes, that's true, but I don't know what you would call that then.
Yeah.
No, I think I would, you know, if you're inviting or talking about inviting wives or girlfriends, are the birds getting to come? The birds, but whether that's a new word or not, certainly. But that's more of a male, maybe, speaking more from work, they would sort of say that.
I suppose girlfriend as well.
No. Mm-hmm. Friend, you see, it's just a pal. Your girlfriend or your, you know, like if it was, you know, your best friend.
So what's for friend then would be?
Well, your pal, your
mate.
Your mate.
Mate. Your mucker. Mucker's another one.
I think you've got a few words in there that I've heard for guys, but I guess it's because you're working.
Probably.
In a male environment.
Probably, yeah.
A male environment.
I think here it would just be your pal.
Or your mate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about a male partner?
Well, husband if you're married.
Well, or your partner, just...
Your man.
Just
Your bloke, your boyfriend. Yeah.
Boyfriend.
Just the same.
Anything different amongst the young folk that they call or do they call bairns call their boyfriends, girlfriends, partners more or
no?
Okay. What about a young person in cheap trendy clothes and jewellery?
Common as muck.
probably a minger.
A gadgie.
Or a gadgie.
A gadgie,
yeah.
Minger, a mink as well.
Yeah.
No? Well, a mink's more a tink, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's a mink and a tink?
those are the travelling fraternity.
Yes, that's right, yes. Am I not allowed to say that? Am I not being politically correct?
No, that's not right. No, that's fine to say, because it's just... language, it's just dialect,
right?
We'll be getting sued.
You're not putting any names to this, are you?
Or what about slapper or tart?
Yeah. Mm. Tart, yes, or common as muck. You see, a lot of people would say, well, she's as common as muck.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or he's a writing, and just leave it at that. It's, you know, something like that.
Or tarty.
Real tarty.
Tarty. Tart.
Or if it was an older person, it could be like mutton dressed as lamb. You get that, you see. My granny used to say that about certain people. She says, just mutton dressed as lamb. But that's maybe describing somebody maybe older. Trying to make themselves look trendy and young.
What about a kit of tools?
I wouldn't know.
Well, that was a big discussion in our house.
Or the tools. My
dad would refer to the tools. Go and get the tools, meaning go and get the toolbox.
Something manual.
Well, he was a printer, but I mean, he was quite good with his hands, you know, sort of mechanically, I would say. So it would be go and get the toolbox.
That's more when you've got like the garden shed or a workshop or something. Yeah. You would have your tools laid out anyway in the right place, rather than just in the house having a bag of tools.
Well, we had both. So, like we had like a box in the under the stairs where the sort of the screwdriver and things like that. Whereas the garden shed had the big tools. So it'd be go and get the tools.
Toolkit, toolbox.
Mm.
What does Frank call it?
Toolbox, I think. Just a toolbox.
Is that your man, Madge?
No, my son. He's a plumber.
Tell me about his day and him preparing for his day, but what he says he's getting ready.
I mean, it's usually in the van anyway, very seldom in the house, but they buy these, you know, these new things that they fold over and then they clip down and they've got the handles now. You used to have before, like for joiners, used to be the wooden, the canvas bags and the leather handles. And that was their tool bag, the joiner, a tool bag. It was always a tool bag with joiner. But I think most of them now have all got these modern boxes. So a toolbox, I would say, that's what he would call it, a toolbox. In my case, it's lying all about the garage. You've got a tool find.
Treasure hunt.
Aye.
Pam's obviously very organised. let's see. Good tools. I think we've covered all that now. Oh, word for something whose name you've forgotten.
Thingamajig.
Thingamajig. Thingamabob.
Same. Thingamajig.
Thingamabob.
I've got thingamajig and I can't mind.
Hoochicampoofle.
No, I've never heard that.
That's what my mum and dad would have said. Who'd you come poo for?
My sister's.
But they're Edinburgh. Who'd you come poo? Kiff. Poo.
Right.
Yeah.
Thingamajig.
Sorry?
Thingamajig.
Who'd you come poo? Sort of, they'd be speaking maybe about, where did you put the, I'm trying to think. Who'd you come poofle? Just if they were trying to think or speaking about something, and it's more of an inanimate object rather than a person or a dog or a whatever it would be. Whereas the who'd you come poofle mean the screwdriver or the pan or something like that. That's the way it would be used. Yeah. Which is quite, when you think about it, it's quite a complex word for just a simple wee, where's the thing? You know, where is it? You know? But you've got to have this huge complex word.
That's great. Nice. Okay, into the next one. What they wear? Clothes, first of all.
I've just got clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Clothes. I think the kids would say gear or kit. They would say, like, well, it would be sports kit if we were playing hockey. I mean, you take sports kit with you. But for clothes, going out clothes, it would be clothes or gear. I would say,
gear or clays. Clays.
No, I'd say the same. That's what I've got down as well.
Cool. And on the sporty theme, child soft shoes worn for PE?
Gym shoes, plimsolls, gutties. I'd have probably said when I was small, I'd have said my gym shoes. But my kids would say trainers, of course, now. Gutties is more a word for using when you're on a boat, isn't it? Gutties.
Gutties.
Tell me about that, Madge.
Well, my husband's got a boat, and when we were talking about that the last day. It was gutties, he said. But he's from Errol as well, and they're a different... He says different words. He always calls me the toonie, you know, because Errol has a different... Even for that distance, mm-hmm. it's only, what, 7-8 miles down the road, is it? And it's a different dialect. You know, he says gutties. I would say Jimmy's, or... I'd probably say my Jimmy's, like, that's what I would say.
Gym shoes.
Sanies. Or
uh-huh. Sannies, short for sand shoes.
I said sand shoes when I was at mm-hmm. school, but Eddie said it was plimsolls. Mm-hmm. He said he would definitely say plimsolls, mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the right English word, plimsolls.
Yes, well, I asked him, and I says, what would you say? And he says, well, I definitely would say plimsolls. But I said sand shoes mm-hmm. when I was at school.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Good. Trousers.
Mm.
Breeks.
Yeah, breeks.
Yep. No, I'd say trousers.
Oh, I would say trousers, but that... Again, that was my husband. He said breeks. That's what he would say.
I mean, I would automatically say to the boys, if I was telling them to get dressed, go and put your trousers on.
So would I. No, I wouldn't say...
I wouldn't say go and put your breeks on. To me, breeks are your underpants, your knickers. Well, that's what
so
I would say.
You had them on anyway.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I'd be hoping they had their breeks on anyway. Underneath their trousers.
Although I've got breeks, that's not what I would actually physically say. If I was like you, if I was my son, I would be saying to him, go and change your trousers.
Mm-hmm. Or trousers. Mm-hmm. Trousers, or slacks, it is another modern
that's
name.
An old
slacks.
Name,
slacks. And
mm-hmm. Women used to wear slacks, mm-hmm. whereas we don't wear slacks now, we wear mm-hmm. jeans or mm-hmm. whatever. You don't wear slacks, do you?
That's an Edinburgh word again.
What? Slacks. Yeah.
Do you remember your parents using different stuff or you growing up with different stuff in Edinburgh?
Yeah, I just remember never being allowed to wear jeans because jeans were common and you didn't get to wear jeans when you were a girl in particular. Jeans were always the sort of the trades, the work folk. That's what they wore to work in. And the thought of actually wearing jeans other than that, you know, that's... But
in our young day, though, because that, as you say, it was workmen that wore jeans to go to their work.
Generation even below me. So I mean, we didn't have jeans. No, we didn't. We didn't have jeans.
The first jeans I can remember were Sea Dogs, which are flares, basically what we wear now. Just you know, flared jeans. And it took me about a year before my parents let me buy a pair of them.
I'm actually not
keen on
jeans.
I don't like jeans. You know that I've never possessed a pair of jeans in my life.
I'm not keen on jeans.
I don't like jeans. So, I've never possessed a pair of jeans in my life. Maybe it was because, well, we were brought up in a thing that we never had jeans, and I would never dream of buying a pair.
What jeans are we wearing?
Tatties.
But tatties were jeans, yeah. But no.
I mean, I would be about 16 or 17, maybe, when I used to started to wear trousers, you know, mm-hmm. at home. So you're talking, this is the late 50s. And my grandfather was still alive at the time, and he hated women in trousers. And he used to, if you were meant to wear trousers, you would have been born a boy. Get them off. You should have a skirt on. And well, he was really quite angry about it. I mean, now I'm never hardly in a skirt, but I mean, I wear trousers, but I've never had jeans, no.
Just a too far off?
Definitely. Because it was probably, yes, maybe, because, well, they weren't really on the go in our day. And by the time I got married and was working, I had to wear a skirt all the time. It was in the days where you weren't allowed to wear trousers at work. And so you had to wear a skirt or dress or whatever.
I think it's great now.
I do too. When I started, which was in, 1987, when I started down the road part-time, they weren't allowed to wear trousers at work. But, I mean, they can't stop. Well, they say they can't stop you now.
Well,
so
you weren't allowed to wear trousers.
Well, not with you.
And, in fact, when I started work, if you had stiletto heels, on a Saturday you were allowed to wear them. Any other day of the week you went. But you had to wear what were called stiletto heel protectors.
So they didn't mark the floor.
Isn't it dreadful?
Where did you work?
Well, I used to, and these days it was the GA in Perth, and you work Monday to Friday, obviously 9 to 5, but you had to work a Saturday morning, so you obviously got a concession because you'd be going out after work, so you were allowed to wear stiletto heels.
What was the GA?
But yeah, it's an insurance company.
No, it's union.
Yeah. But even latterly, when I worked in McEwan's, you still weren't allowed to wear trousers. not at all. What's you had hands? It's ladies' fashion, believe it or not. And you had to wear tights. You were not allowed to bare legs even in the summer. Not sandals, court shoes. And you had to be dressed smartly in a suit.
Uniforms have really changed for police officers, hasn't it?
Very much, very much so. Well, I joined the City of Dundee Police in about 30 years ago. And at that time we wore skirts which had to be boxed. You had to iron them so it looks as though you were wearing a box for a skirt, and the tunic top, and tights and shoes. And you got a tight allowance. And, I mean, that was, I think, 10 years later, we were allowed to wear... I was working in Perth at that time. It had become Tayside Police. And at that time, you were allowed to wear trousers on the late shift during the hours of darkness, basically. But if you were at court at all, you wore a skirt and you wore a hat. Well, the women have to wear hats in the court. Even in Dundee, when I first joined, if you were in the CID plain clothes, you had to wear a hat if you were in court. But all changed, very much so. It's far more practical now to wear boots and a pair of trousers, especially if you're having to wrestle with folk or climb walls and deal with things. A lot of change with the uniform, a lot more practical.
Even my minding, things like handbags have changed.
We had to have a handbag, yes, and we were issued with a baton, which was about 9 inches long, as if that could do anybody any or save your skin at all. You know? But yeah, handbag with everything in it. Now you've got the utility belts and you've got your spray, your asp and various things.
These things are not awful heavy, you know, like... I would imagine somebody trying to run and all this round about them. I would think it would hold them back.
My son's in the police as well. And I mean, even your body armour that you've got to wear. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you're not allowed to take it off even when you go in the car. So you have to sit with all this on. And I mean, sometimes they've got sore backs because they've got all this weight round their waist, plus your big body armour. And so, I mean, so it must...
I have to say, I would rather... I would rather be wearing all of that and be safe.
Oh yes.
And
yes,
carry that
yes.
stuff and be safe than not have it.
I would have thought, like, all that round the belt, and if somebody was, like, say you were climbing up a wall or a fence, you'd think it would get caught on, you know, or hold you back that wee bit.
It would be better to have it, though, you know.
Oh, especially the body thing.
It would kill me to run with that on. There's no way I could... I mean,
But you're not a young fit.
No, I mean, I've tried all Craig stuff on. There's no way. I mean, I can hardly get up off the chair, never mind the runway on. You know what I mean? I would just be... That would kill me, no. Not at all. But even nurses' uniforms, I mean, look how much they've changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, when my sister was a nurse, she had to wear... black stockings and your black shoes and your proper starched uniform and hat, and now it's all tunics and trousers, yeah. And I mean, it is much more sensible.
Oh, yes, it is.
Much more sensible. I mean, leaning over all these beds and
tunic on, like nothing else underneath it, and it's much, you know, for the warm and that, it's much easier for them for sweating and such. Like, yeah, I think it'd be great.
Okay, into the next section. I'm just kind of anxious to get through everything, so I'm not keeping you too long. How you feel? Shall we start? Let's start on a positive note. Pleased. What's for pleased?
Yvonne? Chuffed. Mm-hmm. Fair chuffed.
Tell me about a time when you're fair chuffed.
I'm always fair chuffed.
Fair chuffed that we're getting to go to Prague.
Yes, I'm really chuffed that we're going to Prague this year, because last year we were booked to go to Prague and I did my Achilles tendon and I was definitely unchuffed.
Seek in
I was fair seek.
It was on your holidays.
This was Pam and I last year, yes, so we're going this year.
Good. Any other words
for please? No, I've just got the same. I've just got chuffed.
Yeah, chuffed's the same with me, fair chuffed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair pleased, chuffed, happy. But I'd say chuffed as well.
Yeah, happy, I've got happy.
What about the opposite of that, Madge? Annoyed?
Yeah, what have I got for annoyed? Oh, angry. Angry. Bailing, angry. That's what I would say for that.
Raging, bailing.
Rattled. You could be rattled. Something really annoyed you. Much the same.
I think it'd be bailing.
I'd be pissed off or hacked off.
I'm glad there's somebody in here that's going to keep up the sight of the spirit.
You would.
Yes.
I mean, if you were really. Yes. Really?
I
would say. Like that.
Yeah.
I'd probably
turn around and say,
I'm
really
pissed off with
like
that.
Or I'm really hacked off. You know, so either of these two are something I would probably use, yeah.
It's amazing in Scotland how little words we have for describing the way we feel about things compared to some places in the world, okay? Mm. It's such a small smattering.
It's true, because, I mean, really, to be annoyed, you'd think you'd have, I mean, I suppose pissed off really...
Just covers it.
It does, yeah. Really, doesn't it?
It's actually the best one of the lot. It's all your system, doesn't
yes.
it? Okay, words for tired?
Knackered.
Knackered.
Buggered.
Shattered.
Shattered.
No, I would say shattered as well. I would say I'm shattered.
Wobbit.
Wobbit.
Fear wobbit. Fear wobbit. It's a
Scotch
one, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about unwell?
Sick or nae weel, kind of feeling well. And that's about it for that.
Sick.
I was asking
kids about this one, and they said they'd probably say they felt pants. Pants.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids would say that as well, wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, I don't feel well, they say, I feel pants this morning.
Never heard of that one. Hellish. And my kids would say that as well, I think. Get a clip round the ear for it too. Well, no, not now, they're too big.
Just feeling rotten. Just feeling
rotten.
We'd say poor amus back on.
Would you? Yeah, poor amus.
Poor amus, yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pilly Wally, is there any?
That really more describes somebody if they're like being sick and they're
quite
sick.
White.
Oh, my granny would have said,
Pilly Wally.
Pilly Wally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What about cold?
Frozen.
Aye, freezing.
Ah, freezing.
Bitter. Bitter. Or bitter without the tea, if you come from Perth.
That's better.
No, I would say freezing or it's bitter cold outside. Or you could say Baltic.
Baltic.
Sometimes
yeah,
you would say, God, that's Baltic out there.
That's got popular recently, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's quite a modern sort of expression,
I think
Baltic.
Like, so Amy would maybe say
no,
Baltic.
No, she would say Baltic.
She sounds like a real Dilbert town.
No, she certainly is.
Going on
30. Well, my 18 going on 25 anyway.
Have we done hot? No, we've not done hot.
Bailing. Richard Bailing.
Mm. Could that be mad and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. For the two.
Sweating.
Clouting.
I've heard that.
Clouting.
I've heard it, but not really a lot.
You'd really be sweaty hot to be clouting. Or the weather's pretty plouting.
I'll be plouting next week, Pam. I'll be in Egypt next week. I'll be in the 30s, hopefully.
Hopefully we'll plout in.
Hopefully. I better not be Baltic anyway.
Have you been before?
Twice.
Egypt,
sorry?
Obviously.
Yeah. I've got a fascination for it. And the hieroglyphics and everything. I'm into it all. Yeah. Well, not, yeah.
Oh. Does that say your name?
Mm-hmm. And Cleopatra on the other
same.
Side.
He's got his name on his katush.
No. Okay, but then add that, please. Tired, and wheel, hot, cold, annoyed. That's the last wheel then. To throw something.
To chuck a ball.
Heave. Heave.
Fling.
Chuck or fling.
I've said that, but I've also said bung. You know, bung that over here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want somebody to throw it to you, you'd say, go and bung that over.
Or launch it.
That's my mobile. I beg your pardon. It's a bit of a bugger, is it? Okay, this is the Perth interview continued. So we just were doing words for throw, to throw something. We've got heave,
chuck,
fling.
Launch. Yeah, you launch something. No, it's not a hockey word, really. You just launch them. I think if you were throwing something at... something like a stone, you'd launch a stone at it.
I said bung at the time, you know, bung something over here, go and bung that newspaper over here. You wouldn't ask somebody
to throw it.
Well, I wouldn't bung it to somebody, but I'd probably ask somebody to bung it to me, if that makes sense.
Got you, yeah.
Words we use back home are wap, bell, hoof. I guess the heave is a bit like here. Right, play truant.
Bunkin, skipping school, bunk off.
Skive school. Not something I ever did, so I didn't really know what the word was.
Plonking school. That would be that. Not that I ever did either. Plonking school.
I definitely never played truant. No, I would say the same as Yvonne. Skive, bonking off. We were all very good. I mean, it's a modern...
I know it's an old word, but it's not something that people would say. Yeah.
Folk used to truant because they had to, I suppose.
You never really heard of people playing truant much in our day.
I've only once ever done it, and I lost a Midlands trial truant. One and only time. Ever done it. Flew in I thought she was going to kill me. I went and bound up her hockey sticks for her, like, when I was meant to go to Midlands trial, and... my mates and I in New Zealand there, and she had the mumps, and to her said, right, we'll just don't bother going and we'll come up and spend the time with you. So we had paper rolled up like for fags, you know, and we had, her dad had one of those big long things for shaving, and we sliced up all the tatties, we had crisps and fags and the music playing. We were getting great. This knock come to the door. School board officer, I hadn't a clue who she was. Like, Miss, please accompany back to school. I had to walk back to the school board. And I lost a Midlands hockey trial because I had to go. It was an exam. It was a geography exam. I hate geography. And, and I had to go and sit the geography exam on Saturday morning, but there'd been a mix-up. Because obviously Flo had went to the headmaster and said I had a Midlands hockey trial, but the word hadn't got back to me, so I missed the trial, you see. So, and I went, had to go and sit the exam with the Janny, watching on me, and I got 75% or something because the Janny couldn't miss the answer. But I just about got killed because I should have been in the Midlands a year before I actually was in it. That's only once I've ever trunked to school.
And then when did you do it again?
I never did it again. That wasn't the worst.
No, I don't think it was common in our day.
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
No, neither did I.
It would have been difficult. I mean, when I lived in Cooper Angus, if I had bunked off, everybody would have known. Mm-hmm. So you just couldn't do it because in a small village, everybody knew what everybody was doing.
Well, I suppose even like us, like I think there was three of us all together, and I thought three of them at the one class at one time, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't bother, that wouldn't have been noticed now, but the need days it was, because we were never off.
My sister was New Year at the school, and she was out bunking off. She was, I mean, half a dozen of them used to go AWOL on an afternoon.
But yeah, I think not really in sort of first to fourth year, I don't think we would, at all, but certainly fifth and sixth year we were. Certainly fifth and sixth year, a fair bit of going fishing instead.
I suppose you could say you had a few free periods, whereas you didn't have a free period, you actually were bunking off.
I was quite lucky because I played an instrument at school, so you could pretend that you were actually had instrument lessons or orchestra practice, and nobody ever bothered to just let you carry on.
Did you?
Yes, I was in the choir from day one to.
I didn't know you were a singer.
Well, there you go. I never said I was a singer. I said I was in the choir.
She polished her shoes.
That was a clever move. Right, to sleep.
Kip. Going for a kip.
Going for 40 winks. Mm-hmm. Taking a nap.
Go for a lie down. Crash out, maybe the young ones would say that, wouldn't they? They would say crash out. But I'd probably just say I'm going for 40 winks.
So would I.
Or if I'm going to bed, I'm going to sleep. But if I was just going for a wee snooze...
Mm-hmm. I suppose it'd be kipping, sleep.
You work in night shifts, Pam, you have to kip a lot.
You certainly do, although I don't just seem to manage it just as well as I used to when I was younger. But yeah, aye, you have to kip through the day, and it's... It's not as good.
Do you find it quite difficult, especially if in the summertime, if it's light days, you know, the sun's shining, you have to darken your windows, try and make it dark?
I used to be able to sleep anytime, anywhere, any place. Mm. Night shift is the only... I still can, but night shift's the only time I have a problem. And that's just fairly recent, I would say, within the last 4 or 5 years. Really.
Mm-hmm. It's the sign you see of getting older, because as you get older, you do not need as much sleep.
Oh, I still need as much sleep. Oh, yes, aye. Oh,
but that's the alcohol part.
Alcohol-induced.
I read that wrong, because it said, what you do to sleep, you know?
Well, see. Ah, yeah. Got
you.
Good thinking, man.
Yeah, and I put read. this is what you do to sleep.
Yeah, good thinking. You're absolutely right. You're spot on.
And I thought, well, I do read. I'm not telling everybody else what I do, but I read. And I watch the telly and I got to make myself a cup of tea. But that's the way I read that, so I read it kind of wrong, maybe. Mm. Yeah.
What about to play a game?
Oh, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what you meant by that. I was being like you in your sleep.
No, again, I was the same. Nowadays it's darts, because I'm bugging for the hockey. So I just throw an arrow or two.
Like muck around.
Oh, that kind of game.
Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean by that's to play? To go out, to muck around?
Going out to play?
Yeah.
Like, go out to muck around.
Are you still playing?
You don't mean to
play. You're still playing. She's at her choir.
What you do to play a game? See, I thought it meant like what you do to play a game, like if you were going to play a game.
Like a game of cards.
Like what? I mean, as our age group, I mean, what kind of games do we play?
I play a lot, actually.
When we play Canasta, it's supposed to mean a nice long card game, but it usually ends up so noisy that, I mean, when my kids were small, they used to come down and say, we can't sleep for the noise down here because you're having a drink playing cards. And, I mean, a game of Canasta can take 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes. But if there's a bit of cheating going on and a bit of hilarity, then, you know, it's quite noisy with a bit of alcohol.
Well, I couldn't think any sort of words there, but I put down games that we'd play as a child, like Doublers or Beddies, because I know that like these all had different names in different towns. Like,
hopscotch.
Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't call hopscotch.
No,
I would call it Beddies.
So would I. Uh-huh. Hopscotch.
Mm.
No, I called it Beddies too.
What was that game you called? When he put the thing on the pavement and knocked it, and it was numbers come up, and then you could hit it further on
in the
bit stick, you know, like, and it had numbers on it, and whoever when they hit it off the edge of the pavement like that, and whoever got the highest number, then you hit the stick and hit. You were meant to hit. I can't mind that.
I just know Beddies that you drew the chalk on the ground,
and you
one,
had
two,
the
three, four, five, and six, and then you slid it along, and you had to jump across the boxes.
That was another thing.
And Doublers, of course, with the ball.
They were all sissy games, eh?
Hockey.
I was in football with the boys.
I was lucky to play Beddies and Doublers, because where I lived, there wasn't, and I was the only child. I had absolutely nobody to play with.
Name is Jimmy.
I didn't have anybody. Dorothy was my nearest, and she lived up Canoe Hill. So I had. There was nobody in our road.
And then you got to the top of there, you weren't able for nothing.
No, there was nobody in our street. Well, the terrace that had. There was no other children. I was the only one.
I think
one of my
last
one
knew actually.
Ooh, so
I had to go
out and draw my babies myself and just play myself.
Hard,
we're
not doing that, are we?
No.
Batter.
Belted.
Belt.
Welly.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose thump.
Mm-hmm.
Clout.
Fair scalp something. If you've hit it hard, you've given it a fair scalp.
Yeah. Your scalp if I went past. Obviously, if I hadn't done whatever I was supposed to do.
Well, I guess you're even thinking about
it. Yeah. Maybe sell on the road. And well, I getting hit with your car.
I'm activating your.
Good point.
brothers or sisters?
No, my mother was a widow. My
granny was the one that was left to look. So if I had like off the school, for example, with mumps, chicken pox, or whatever. So yes, no brothers and sisters.
That's a shame. Eh?
Well,
yes,
no brother. And my son's an only one, and I have to say this, that I have no regrets being one. And he has. Well, I've asked him, and he says he's got no regrets being one. But there does come a time in your life, I think, when, yes, you do wish you had some, like when my mother took ill, I was the only one that was there to be there for her. Whereas I think if you're one of a big family, you can at least help out one another. Mm-hmm. But I suppose
what you know as well. I mean, I'm one of four, uh-huh. and I was the baby. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I would be spoiled. And in other ways, it was the opposite, because you got everybody else's hand-me-downs and uh-huh. old bikes and, uh-huh. like, not getting to do music lessons mm-hmm. and things, as everybody else had tried it. So, mm-hmm. but I mean, I enjoyed being one of four. I can't imagine not being one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same. See, I don't know anything else. Uh-huh. I don't know anything else. I just was one. Mm-hmm. That was it. But there's no arguments. You've got no See, my husband's one of six, and they definitely all had their fallouts. Well, there's nobody to fall out with me. I'm just on my own, you know.
He'll be a bit practiced at fighting though, that well, as you know.
Oh yes. But it's true saying. It's what you and what you're used to. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else would say.
Well, everybody in Perth says Ken.
Ken, that's a bit.
Instead of you know.
Or Ben the House. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was doing bed and breakfast, I said, "I just go Ben the House." Ken Fritz says, "I don't care what you're saying." Ben the House for your breakfast. Ben's a Perth. Mm-hmm. He said that's a Perth word as well, and Ken. And Ken.
How would you use Ken? Give me an example of that.
Well, do you Ken him?
No, no. That's a right Perth word.
The end of a sentence, instead of saying you know, you go Ken. So it's, and I must admit, when I came to Perth, I didn't notice I'd picked it up. It was my parents that noticed it. This you Ken, or Ken.
You're saying you come from Perth. I would say that as well, but that's not what you guys would say. You would say...
Perth.
Aye.
Perth, aye.
Perth, Perth.
It's like different. Perth, but it's...
Aye.
You said Perth.
Uh-huh.
It was just Perth, which is what everybody other than Perth, Perth. People would say.
All right.
It's Perth, really. It's not an A, it's a...
It's a Perth.
Perth.
You're not conscious of saying
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Who do you come from? Come Perth. From Perth.
Do any of you ever have bothered being understood?
Give
an example of
how
you've had that.
No.
Like
well, I think only when you're abroad, you know, even even
Scottish
in
accent,
yeah, that's yeah, it's the accent.
I would say that because I went every summer, obviously, to visit my grandparents down south, and they understood both my mum and I quite easily, but they felt that we spoke much faster than them. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to mm-hmm. slow down. To, mm-hmm. But they understood us.
Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, even things like when we were in Australia, and like when we were speaking to the kids there, we would say things like, you know how you would say, go and do the messages? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know what messages
no.
was, that it would be the shopping. Uh-huh. I mean, just a simple word like that, uh-huh. you know, that uh-huh. we would maybe say something, uh-huh. and they'd look at you as if to say, what's she talking
they
about?
They don't say that down south either. I used to say to my granny, I'll go and do your message. She'd say, I have no messages to give anybody. I says, but it's not that kind of messages.
Shopping.
It's shopping. But uh-huh. they don't speak, they don't. Yeah. They didn't use that either.
But it's something that you say unconsciously uh-huh. that, you know, someone else, uh-huh. they just pick up on it and they haven't got
I
a clue
what
it
is. I say I'm going my messages.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to anybody, I'm going away to shop.
Oh, I never say shopping. No, mm-hmm. no. No, you'd have to be in Farquhar Avenue for that.
If you were going for clothes and things, it would be
shopping.
But if it's a food shop,
that's
your
messages.
Like errands. I think it could be Scotland generally, maybe.
Right.
Okay. Can I just get you one more to say where you live? Just one more time for the linguists.
Right. Pam from Scone.
Pam from Scone.
Olive originally Perth, now Scone.
Yvonne Perth.
My originally Perth, now Scone.